Children with severe mental illnesses encounter many barriers to treatment, among them a shortage of psychiatric beds and insurance companies that deny coverage. But some parents discovered a workaround. As Side Effects Public Media's Christine Herman reports, they can trade custody for treatment.
Jim and Tony Hoy adopted their son Daniel as a toddler. He'd been severely neglected as a baby, starving and left for dead. As Daniel grew up in the North Chicago suburbs, Tony says he started to show signs of mental illness.
He held knives to people's throats. He tried putting his fingers and his tongue in the light sockets. He broke almost every door in the house. At the same time, he's a little boy. He didn't want to be that way. He didn't like being that way.
Daniel began therapy when he was 10, but the violence escalated. He was hospitalized almost a dozen times over 2 years. Doctors said he needed 24/7 residential care. It wasn't safe to bring him home. But Medicaid and private insurance denied coverage.
We were told that we had to pay out of pocket for it.
At least $100,000 a year, which they didn't have. Then, after the 11th hospitalization, the state of Illinois gave Tony an ultimatum.
And basically said, if you bring him home, we're going to charge you with child endangerment for failure to protect your other kids. And if you leave him at the hospital, we'll charge you with neglect.
And that option is a last-ditch workaround to get treatment. If you abandon your child at the hospital, just refuse to pick them up, the Child Welfare Agency steps in to take custody. It's called a lockout. Attorney Robert Farley Jr. says at that point, the state's obligated to pay for their care.
So you get residential services, but then you've given up custody of your child, which is, you know, barbaric. You have to give up your child to get something necessary.
So the Hoys left Daniel at the hospital.
It was the only thing we could do that kept everybody safe.
In 2010, 2 years after giving Daniel up, they sued the state. In a settlement the following year, they regained custody of their 15-year-old son and got the funding for his care. Around the same time, Farley decided to take on the lack of community mental health care on behalf of all Medicaid-eligible children in the state. He filed a class action lawsuit.
Well, there's really great federal laws, but someone's not out there enforcing them.
In the lawsuit, Farley claimed Illinois illegally withheld services from children with severe mental health disorders. A judge earlier this year ruled that the state must make reforms to comply with Medicaid law, which says medically necessary treatment must be covered. But that decision doesn't address another problem. There are 6 state agencies that interact with at-risk children, but they operate in silos. Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholtz says this causes many kids to unnecessarily enter state custody through the Department of Children and Family Services, or DCFS.
It's almost like there's a vacuum and the kids are just being sucked into DCFS.
So she worked to get a bill passed in 2014. It orders those agencies to ensure families are never again torn apart like the Hoys. But data obtained by Side Effects shows today in Illinois, 4 families a month trade custody for mental health treatment. Feigenholtz says the fact lockouts still happen shows a lack of commitment.
The question is, shouldn't government be stepping in and doing their job? And they're not. We just want them to do their job.
Well, if law could fix problems, we'd have a different world.
That's BJ Walker, head of DCFS. She says the reasons lockouts happen are complex. A spokesman for the agency said in an email that when they get blamed, it's like when a pitcher comes in at the end of a losing game to save the day and gets tagged with the loss. Heather O'Donnell is a lawyer with Thresholds, a mental health treatment provider in Chicago. She says lockouts can happen anywhere in the country, but the situation is particularly bad in Illinois.
What Illinois needs to put into place is a system that helps these families early on so that these kids never get hospitalized.
That's what the state is trying to fix now. A plan is due by October to meet the legal settlement. As for Daniel, he's 23. He's been out of residential treatment and stable for 5 years now. He has a 2-year-old daughter, works nights for a shipping company, and says he would not have gotten better without his parents.
sometimes it's so hard to do it for yourself. It almost helps to know that, well, you know, I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also doing it for my family and for our relationship.
Daniel's mom, Tony, says he has exceeded every goal they set for him.
The kids do need services, but they also need the support of their families. And when they have both, a lot of kids can be a lot more successful.
Tony's thankful that despite losing Daniel while trying to help him, they ultimately made it through intact. Not every family does. And until that changes, Tony says she won't stop speaking out. I'm Christine Herman, Side Effects Public Media.